I've been planning 4 months, and all I can say is pretty good. The one thing that's been on my heart since sabbatical started, and it happened when I went out, the first thing we did on sabbatical was we went to Atlanta. Now, I'll tell you this. On Easter Sunday, when you were here, and the weather was okay, after church, I was swimming in an outdoor swimming pool. Okay. Just wanted to get you to sympathize with me. The church we went to was North Point, Andy Stanley's church, and we got to see church in a different realm, but the same thing happened that happens here, which is very interesting. He picked up his Bible. He spent 40 minutes, okay, 40 minutes, and he just talked about how God's Word changes lives. So no matter where you go, no matter how big the church is, no matter how small the churches that are getting it and doing what God asked are showing you how God's Word changes lives. That's encouraging to me. And so I thought, what ultimately needs to happen with Jeff? So I thought it wouldn't be fair if I just got up here and I started telling you a lot of different things without telling you how some of the sabbatical has gone. So I'm going to do it in a little bit of a different way. I'm going to give you little highlights, little tidbits. We had a blog going for a little bit. I'm not much of a blogger, I learned. I thought, you know, culturally I should be in that generation that does that. Not so much. Nope. I don't know. Part of it is if you're sitting in Scotland and you have to bike uphill to a McDonald's, order something just so you can use their internet to write a blog, you're not going to do that every day. So it was a little bit difficult at different times. Sometimes internet just wasn't available. So the bottom line, we try to keep in touch with you and kind of tell you a little bit what's going on. So I'm going to show you a few pictures of how kind of a little bit of highlight. And this is one where after the conference Lindsay and I were attending to, Andy Stanley spoke, and it was great. It was a really great message. This was on a Wednesday night, and we had just gone to his Easter service on Sunday. Okay, so I saw him Sunday, but I never got to meet him. Now, the church is about 5,000 in attendance, and they do 3 services. So I believe there was, where's Lindsay? There you go. 25, and Steve can back me up on this. 25 on one side, and they do another service on the back side of that wall, which is about 2,200, 27 and 22 or something like that. So they're having that much going on. So it feels small with 2,200 people. Okay, it does. And they do 3 services in the morning. Okay, it was great. It was really good to be there. And I couldn't find him. I couldn't connect with him because Steve had this great shot that was beside him where he was holding him and kind of pointing at him. And I was like, I got to get this picture. So I got to meet him. And I couldn't find him. And so we searched the whole church and looked at all the different kids' programs. And it was just amazing to see church done in a well way. So Wednesday night, he was at our conference. Yeah. Wednesday night, he was at our conference, and he spoke, and he was doing a book signing. And I was like, I'm not going to get him to sign my book. Like, I'm just not one of those guys that, can you sign my book? You know, and then put it on a bookshelf, and it doesn't really matter. But Lindsay's like, you know, that's your way to meet him. So I said, okay. At the time, there was the whole, and if you can remember this, there was a whole tornado, lightning storm watch that was happening, kind of Alabama and coming up through the side, and it was just basically going to plow us over. And I want to tell you a really neat story. And this is where I kind of, this is why I'm speaking my message. This kind of got me going. When the storm started coming, I was in line, and I was 7 people away, we'll say, to get my book signed, and it was cloudy, and you can kind of hear some rumbling in the background. And so basically, the people that were organizing this conference of 5,000 people, they said, there's this whole storm, we got to get you to your homes or your hotels, whatever, get you off the street so you're not driving. So they're like, we're going to close the book lineup. And we're like, oh, no, like I'm getting closer. And then they're like, people were to get him to sign his book and then taking a picture with him, so I was slowing it down, and I was like, oh, man. So Lindsay had her camera already, and they're like, sorry, you can't take pictures. And I'm like, well, I don't want you to sign my book. Like, I like you, but I don't really care. And so, anyways, she's like, what I'll do is I'll stand in the background, and I'll just take a picture of you, and hopefully they won't catch me at a Christian event. So, anyways. So, that's how my sabbatical started. So, I'm there, and so I talked to him and told him I was from Nova Scotia and that we were just got finished doing five things God uses to grow your faith. And we really appreciate it. We saw some great things happen, and we just thank you for doing that and keeping going with it. So on behalf of him to you, you're welcome. Okay? So, and then I said I was at your Easter service, and I really appreciate it. And he said, oh, that was my favorite message that you ever spoke in the world. And I thought, oh, that's cool. I got to hear it. And so Lindsay grabbed a shot, and we left. So it was kind of neat to see that. That night, we stayed up watching this weather report. We just watched the Weather Channel the whole time. And all we saw was red. And they had little lightning bolt symbols all over the screen showing you where lightning activity was. There was 150 lightning bolts on the screen, they said. I didn't count. Okay. So it was just crazy storm. It was coming through from the west, going to just go over top of us. We aren't experiencing tornadoes, anything like that. We know what to do when the power goes out, but that's about it. Maritimes, right? So what had happened, keep this in mind. There are 5,000 Christians at this event that are praying, that are saying, God, protect us, protect the people. We watched until 2 in the morning. Lindsay Moore, too. I fell asleep, but I woke up off and on. And the storm came through, and it split. It sliced it, and one went north of us, and one went south of us. And it never actually touched us. We could look out our window. We could see the sky light up, but there wasn't really any rain. There wasn't strong winds. Not really much of anything. And it just, they split. It was this huge thing, split. One went north, one went south, and it touched something. The farthest away it touched was 40, closest it touched was 45 minutes away from us. So it was like really, you know, enough within the circumference of where people are getting hotels. And I just thought that was really interesting how when God's people move, God heard, and just kind of, the way I look at it is God split that storm, and I went right over top. So it was really neat to see God work in some really neat ways. And so the whole conference was about, it's your move. Make your move. And I was thinking, okay, God, how are you applying that to my life? What does that look like? What does move look like? I'm moving already. I'm at a church. I'm on sabbatical. I'm moving to Scotland. I'm moving to... So we got to do a lot of things. The next picture I'll show you, and we'll cruise through this, is Big Ben. Big Ben was really something to see. And I was a little disappointed. You know why? Because that is not Big Ben. Did you know that? Big Ben is the bell inside that building. And that building, they told me what it was called, and I have no idea what it's called. I couldn't repeat it to you. But it's something else. That tower is called something. Do you know what it is? No? But the bell is Big Ben, and this is what made it just funny. The bell got its name because there was a large man that was named Ben, nicknamed Big Ben, who made the bell. So Big Ben made this bell, and they called it Big Ben, and shoved it in there, and that whole thing's called Big Ben. So I don't know if that guy was honored or a little mad, because they made fun of him. But I just thought it was interesting to learn a little bit of history in London. That's actually not Big Ben. Then I learned, let's see what the next picture is. This is troubling me. I thought that was London Bridge. That is not London Bridge. Did you know that? Does anybody know what that bridge is? The Tower Bridge. That is the Tower Bridge. That's what I thought London Bridge was. We drove under London Bridge, the new one, the old one. Some guy in the United States paid $1 million or $2 million for London Bridge, took it down brick by brick, went to somewhere in Nevada or somewhere in the desert and rebuilt London Bridge there for a tourist thing. And so they had to rebuild London Bridge, and that is actually the Tower Bridge. So you learn something new every day, right? So we were learning lots of neat things. We took a boat ride and went down the River Thames and got to see really cool things. London is making a huge move. Anybody know what's happening next year in London? The Olympics are coming to London. Watch out. We're so glad we got to go this year and not next year. Hotel prices are going to triple. People are just making a move to make the most of the Olympics. And we thought, wow. So we got to kind of see them they painted that whole bridge, and they did a lot of neat things, and they're getting ready because there's going to be a lot of movement in London, and it's crowded as it is. There's going to be a lot of movement. So we went on beyond London, and the next picture we'll show you. We were in, Holski, Danby, one of the two, and we're staying in a cottage, and this is kind of the view, and it's hard to capture a good view, but when you looked out, all the walls were just rocks piled on top of each other, and they've been there for, some of them, 400 years. And it just goes on in the hills, and there's sheep everywhere, and you're driving down the road, and there's just a sheep in the middle of the road, because he wants to be. So we rented a vehicle, drove on the other side of the road, and you're going along, and all of a sudden you come around the corner, still nervous, and all of a sudden there's this random sheep standing in your way, and then you get by him, and then this Land Rover's coming down a one-lane road, and he wins, so you drive on the grass. And so we got to learn a lot of cool things about seeing what God has made on the across the water. Another picture we'll show you is we were in St. Andrews up in Scotland, and does anybody know something significant about St. Andrews? There you go. Golf is huge. Now, Prince William and Kate, which I'm sure you've heard about, the wedding and all that stuff, that's where they went to university. They went to St. Andrews for university. So we kind of got to walk along and see kind of where their footsteps could have been, and whatever. Lindsay saw it. I carried Ty. But it was really neat, and so we just got to really just kind of capture something different, because Great Village is not really known for much. Now, the Elizabeth Bishop thing is coming, and that's basically all I know Great Village kind of is known for. So it's kind of neat to see some different heritage. So, the next picture we're going to show you is this. It's not heritage, no. When we got home, we just relaxed. We put spent a lot of time. Keith helped me put, and Chris and some other guys, put a new roof on our house and did some work like that. So we had some downtime, which was really good to be able to just kind of settle and relax. Because when you're going, if you have traveled, which some of you have, most of you probably have traveled somewhat, when you're traveling, it's exhausting. When you're traveling with two little kids and you carry them most of the time, it's even more exhausting. But the kids did great. They were troopers. So we're going to move on a little faster here. We went to Maine and went to Old Orchard Beach, and we got to play in the water. I actually read because I wanted to read, which is weird, but I did. And Maddie was just playing and playing, and Ty was playing, and Maddie kept losing teeth. I got another tooth. I was like, okay. So luckily we found them all, because there would have been teeth in Scotland and Maine and all over the place. So she's a hockey player now. So Ty's sporting the smile, just relaxing, and he had a time of his life. And for some of you, you probably haven't seen the kids. And so in 4 months, I mean, Ty's grown in my eyes just like this. And it's just neat to see when you're going to all different places. I'm not just talking for the sake of talking. Somewhat I am. When you go and when you see all these different places, I was watching out of my eye people that are moving. And I don't mean just physically moving, but watching shops, stores that are set up and just selling you stuff. They're making a move. Other people, you know, they haven't moved out of that lawn chair all day. There was one guy, we parked at the beach, and there was hard to get parking. Parking was, you know, hard to get to. And so everybody that had parking spots, it was charging money to park, and then you'd walk to the beach. Well, this one guy had just a little bit of grass on the front, and he had a sign out, and I forget what his name was, Ed or Bill or Jim or Dave. Anyways, he had, you know, Ed's parking, $5. They just drive, park on his lawn, he took their money. He sat there all day, on his chair, did nothing, and took your money. And you'd have to pay $5 an hour, whatever it is, and away you go. That's how he spent his days. I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm just saying that's how he spent his days. He sat there and took people's money. So we got to see a lot of different things, how people are moving. Steve was talking about a song, Laura's Story, and you heard the blessings. We went to Maine on our way home, kind of finishing our sabbatical, went to Bangor Baptist, and we walked in. Just I knew it was a good church. They were doing some great things, and we walked in, and I said, that looks like Laura Story leading the music. And sure enough, she was there, and they had just done a concert Saturday night, and she led the music for their Sunday service. So we got to sit back and enjoy hearing her sing Blessings and Indescribable and other songs that we do in church as well. And so it was just a really nice treat to be able to see things you don't normally see when you're in the Maritimes. So we thank you from the bottom of our heart that you were allowed, that you sent us, and just it was a once in a lifetime opportunity that we really, really, really enjoyed. When we were in Scotland, I want to tell you something really interesting. We did not find, and I'm not saying all of Scotland, but in the area we were at, we did not find in a good evangelical church. What I mean by this is we did not find a church that we could say, I'm going to take my kids to. We're going to hear somebody that's actually telling the truth what the Bible says, and that are a friendly church. There's a Christian bookstore there, and it was really interesting. I went into the Christian bookstore, and my line out of all sabbaticals, one of two things. Hi, I'm Canadian. Because if I didn't say that, I was referred to as an American. And I'm sorry if there's any Americans here. Love you. They did not like Americans. There was just some kind of attitude issue that came along that burned some people. And so one guy said to me, American? And I was like, no, Canadian. Canadian. Oh, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, good man, how you going, buddy? Good, yep. Mm-hmm. And it was just really neat to see the cultural difference in Canadian when we went over. And we could not find a church that was doing that. And so I thought, that's really interesting. There are people, Christian people over there are. But they are not making the move. They are not stepping up to what they need to, because there are so many people. There's so many people over there. And that's just one small area. So I just thought it was interesting. I challenge you to think about it. It kind of blew my mind. When I kept thinking about all these different places, I thought Scotland, we went to Maine, and we got to see different churches and stuff like that. Like I said, a lot of people are doing one of two things. You ready for this? You know what it is? They're either one, making a, or two, they are not making a. So if you sum it down to that, you're either going to make a move or you're not going to make a move. What does that look like? What does that look like in me? I can't tell you that this is what you need to do, but I can tell you that what God says we need to do, and we're just going to take your Bibles and open them up. We're going to look at a few passages just to wrap your head around this. When we learn what God asks us to do, you know what you need to do. You know what your move is or what your move shouldn't be. So let's just read this. Genesis 1, verse 26 to 31. We're just going to read. I have my New Living Translation, so if you have something different, just follow me along here. Genesis 1, chapter 26 to 31. And this is all about God making man. Okay, here we go. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. Very important part. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, okay, God blessed man, and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals scurry along the ground. Something that we might look at and just say, you know, whatever, it's not my job. Our job is not the forest rangers, okay, or somebody else. It's our job, as we are entitled to reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said in verse 29, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life, and that is what happened. Then God looked over all that he had made, because he had just made in 6 days the world. And he saw it and said it was very good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the sixth day. And then he took a rest on the seventh and called it Sabbath. God made us. So when you look, you realize God says in his word, absolute truth, you are made by God in his image. You're not made in somebody else's image. You're not made just lightly, loosely. Whoops, that happened. Oh, well, I'll keep it. God focused and made you to be what you are. And I thought that was really interesting. Then I stumbled. I didn't stumble across the Bible. Put two thoughts together. God didn't make us all the same, I thought. I thought that was very interesting because some people say, well, you're different than I am. You're different than me. So, I mean, God made us in his image, but we're not the same. So how does that work? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Turn your Bibles to there. We'll put on the screen as well. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, starting there. This is a favorite part of the Bible for me. I love this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 says this. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? And I've heard guys speak on this, and you know, just one big eyeball. You know, if you were just one big eyeball bouncing around, Mike Wazowski off of Monsters, Inc., you know, you're just one big eyeball. It's crazy. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, and I don't even want to think about that, how would you smell? And I don't even want to think about one big nose. That's just wrong. Okay? One big nose. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants. So not only are you made, but you're designed. You're created on purpose. You have a purpose. Okay? How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. It goes on and talks about how the church, Christ made and brought the church into existence in the New Testament. The church is very, 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 very important to God's plan. If you are a believer, if you have accepted Christ and asked him to come in your heart and you want to follow him, you are part of the body of Christ. We know that. If we're the body of Christ, then what this is saying, that we all are different and it's okay. When we went to Atlanta, when we went to Scotland, we saw different parts, completely different parts. And it's okay because God created us that way. So the question then becomes, for me to move, I understand that I'm created, I understand that I'm designed in that way, I'm different, it's okay that I'm different. Good, because I was getting scared that I was the mold broke and I was like the leftover, and it's like, you're weird, so we don't think you fit, and there goes that again. So once I understood that, I understood that, okay, Jesus asks us as the body of Christ to actually do something. Turn your Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. And we are familiar with this. But in Matthew 28, we've made up a title for it called the Great Commission. Well, no, I'll read it and you just follow along because we have different translations. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we know a lot of things that come out of this. One, God made us and created us and designed us, but he's going to be with us. He's not going to leave us. Okay? Maddie, because we went to a lot of different places, she got a little more tense because every time, she just drew closer. To the point where I have rips in my clothes because I'm dragging her. I want to tell you a really funny story, and it's not really funny. I don't know if it's okay. Okay. We went through the train station, subway train station, and there are gates that open, electronically driven, okay? You swipe your card, you punch your card, whatever like that, and all of a sudden it's like a cowboy doors, you know what I mean? So they open up, and you have about 2.3 seconds to get through them. and you have luggage and kids. So you swipe it and you go. Therefore, go. Okay, so this word of go means a lot more to me now. And so, I don't know if Lindsay, I think you went and you took Maddie. And I went with Ty, and Ty was ahead of me. Well, Ty saw Lindsay leaving, and he was like, oh, I got to go with her instead of staying with me, because I'm trying to pull out my card to swipe it to let me through again. And so he decided to run. As the doors closed, he came face to face with it. Now, I laughed. I'm sorry. I'm a bad parent. But I picked him up, and I looked after him, so don't worry about that. He took a step through, and I was like, no, and I couldn't grab for him because my hands were tied and I had luggage in my other hand and there's mad people behind me. And so I'm like, no! And all of a sudden, Ty takes a step in, the doors close, and I mean full in, perfect timing, hit him. He actually goes back about 2 feet in the air, just full back feet onto the ground, sliding on his bum, back, and he's just sitting there like, what happened? He never got hurt. Never got hurt. But he tried to make a move at the wrong time. Okay, and those gates were moving on a scheduled time, and he got plowed. And I looked, because it was one of those things that, I mean, I used to watch cartoons and see, you know, Bugs Bunny and all that stuff, and it was like that, where it was, you'd be like, I'm going to lose things here. Feet straight out, hands straight out, just gone. And it's just like, mm. And so I had a decision to make. I got a lot of angry people, and I got luggage, and I'm still trying to get this thing out of my pocket. I don't know where it is. And Ty's on the ground, not crying yet, because I don't even think he's awake yet. And so I'm like, do I say, Ty, get up, you know, like, let's go, or do I be the super dad and try to do this? So I don't even know actually what happened. I just, you know, kicked in, I don't know. But we got through, and I don't like those things. They scare me. But When Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples, you go. Because you're going to get hurt. I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to be flying a grown man through the air because God said go and I did not go. Okay? Go and make disciples. We need to be going. And when we all go, things work better. So much better. So, I just thought I'd get that off my chest because I wanted to share that for about, what, 2.5 months now? which brings me to my next point. Parents. Parents' roles. What does God say? When we move, the Great Commission is for all of us as believers to do that. When he asks parents to move, what does that look like? And I thought, okay, God, what do you want? Let's go to this quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is becoming one of my favorite passages as well. They're all my favorite, I guess. Deuteronomy 6, and we're just going to read the first 9 verses. And we're going to cruise here. These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. Okay, so this is what's happening and setting up. But this applies to us. You and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. Everybody, okay? Everybody has a grandmother, or had. Everybody has a father somehow, whether you know him or not. You're a child of somebody, okay? This is what we're going to do. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God, your ancestors promised you. Okay, here we go. All right, that was the setup. Verse 4. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly, everything, to these commands that I am going to give you today. So here we go. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you're getting up. Pretty much covers the day-to-day basis, doesn't it? From the start of the morning until the end. That's how I would put it. That's what we need to do. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. I grew up saying, you know, write it on your forehead so every time you look in the mirror, it's going to remind you. People say, tie a string to your finger. Remind yourself okay, to do this. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that love the Lord your God with all your heart, and raise your kids to do that from the morning until the night. And then when you wake up in the morning, do it again. God's going to be with us. Very, very important stuff. So parents' role, what is it to go? It's to raise their children to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind. Do that every day. And the last thing I want to share, and then we're just going to, I want to do something really interesting, and you're not going to like it, but I'm going to like it. Okay? Is this. If we're going to do this, whether we have kids or not, or our kids are growing up, or we're thinking about having kids, or we're too young ever to have kids. Sorry, I'm not pointing to anybody in particular. So, we need to put a foundation underneath our feet. And in Luke chapter 6, we're going to look at that real quick, verse 46, it talks about being, to have a foundation under you, there's two different foundations you can have. One foundation is made of sand. The other foundation is made of rock. The sand is not a stable foundation. The rock is. Okay? So, let's read this. So why do you call me Lord, Lord, when you won't obey me? Next verse. I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then obeys me. It's like a person who builds a house on a strong foundation laid upon the underlying rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. Now, but anyone who listens and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against the house, it will crumble into a heap of ruins. Very interesting, isn't it? That if we aren't putting our life on Christ, which is the solid rock, then we've all had situations. Lindsay and I have talked about this. We've had situations before we even were married that waters have swept and swept and swept, striking at our foundation. And we had to build a really good foundation in our life, in our relationship, in order to stand with against what was coming towards us. And when the foundation's in Christ, then your foundation is as strong as it'll ever be. Because that's what God wants it to be. So when your foundation's strong, and you know that you're, if you have kids, to raise them to love and serve Him, and you remember that you better go and make disciples and get off your couch and do things, your life is going to be something. You're going to move. You're going to move. And if we all move together as different parts of the body, which is okay because we're designed that way, then that is what God intended from the beginning. So we sit here years and years apart from what God originally set out. And we've strayed, and we've strayed, and we've strayed, and we've strayed. But God says, I have the Word, the living Word, that all you have to do is look at it, read it, understand it, and do it! Go! Go! And yet we stumble and trip, and stumble and trip, and stumble and trip. Stumbling and tripping is okay. It's part of our sin nature that we have. But what's not okay is letting it be okay. I'm saying, I'm fine with that. We can't. We got to keep moving, and we need encouragement from other people. I'm going to tell you this. Really quick, I'm going to skip 1,000 things that I want to tell you and just keep going. I'm going to ask you 4 questions. You ready? 4 questions. Question number 1. What if God worked in a way like He did with Balaam and his donkey? And if you don't know the story, I'm going to give you the Coles notes really quick. Okay? Balaam was a prophet. God wanted to do and God to do different things and spread His word. So Balaam did it. Balaam was good. Along came a Moabite king, Balak, and he sees these Israelites camping next to him. God's blessed people. He gets scared because they're scary. They've done a lot of things, and I won't go on. We can do a lot of backstories here. But he is scared of them, so he sends a message to Balaam, the prophet, and says, come and curse the Israelites, because when you curse them, they'll be cursed. And when you bless them, if you bless me, I'll be blessed. He wanted just to know his kingdom was safe. So Balaam gets it and he starts coming. He stops and he talks to God, and God says, don't go. So he sends back the messengers to Balak, whatever. and he tells them, sorry, you're not gonna, Balaam's not coming. to help you because God said so. Well, the Moabite king gets mad and he sends really smart-looking people. Okay, I don't know what that means, but they're smart-looking people. And they go and they say, you're going to come with us, probably dressed in black with sunglasses. That's what I'm thinking. Okay, so they come and they say, you're coming with us. And they probably picked him up, carried him. And he said, okay, I'm going to go, but I'm going to stop and ask God one more time if it's okay. God says, fine, go, but I'm not happy about it. So he's going down, he mounts up his donkey. Okay, there's this famous donkey. And they're walking, they're cruising down, riding on this donkey. And I'm not going to pretend, because it could be ugly. So here we go. Ready? He's going down on his donkey, and there's different paths where it gets narrow. And so every time it gets narrow, there's the angel of the Lord appears. But Balaam, the prophet, does not see it. But his donkey sees it. And his donkey stops. He stops aside. Balaam gets ticked off. Stupid donkey. Boom. And stupid is a bad word, just so you know. That's what Maddie says to me. So he gets his donkey to go, and they go a little farther, and then he goes through this another passage in the vineyard, and all of a sudden the donkey sees the angel of the Lord, but Balaam doesn't, and the donkey stops and goes to the side, and he hits this donkey, and it's like, get going, donkey. And again, the donkey goes again, and then there's this narrow little road where he can't really turn right, he can't turn left, he can't turn backwards, he's stuck, he has to go forward. The angel of the Lord appears. The donkey stops and gets right down. Oh, Balaam's ticked. I mean, three times? This donkey. So he beats him, and the angel of the Lord speaks through the donkey, and I love this. This is why I love comedy, because God is the ultimate comedian. He uses the donkey. He could have just appeared and blew his mind, just like, hello, and he probably would have fell and cried. But he decided to speak through the donkey, and the donkey says, you know, why are you beating me? The really interesting thing I find about this is the response that Balaam has, and I'm just trying to find where it is here. Numbers 20, chapter 22, because it's perfect. Numbers chapter 22 in verse 21. Yeah, he beat him off with the staff. Okay, so then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak, and he says this in verse 28. What have I done to you that deserves you beating me three times? It asked Balaam. You have made me look like a fool, Balaam showed it. So he's having this... He never said, why are you speaking? He's ticked off. So, donkey, okay? And he's having this conversation with the donkey. It's like, what do you mean? And he starts yelling back. And I could just see people, because he's going with these black men dressed in sunglasses, okay? So they're standing here. Selling this donkey. Is he okay? Like, this is who, the Moabite king wants to bless and curse people? Like, this guy. You know? Whatever. And he's just screaming at his donkey. It's like, get up! And so here goes the conversation. But I am the same donkey you've ridden all your life, the donkey answered. Donkey just keeps talking. Okay? And have I ever done anything like this before? And this is the turning point. Balaam goes, well, no. He starts getting all, sympathetic, talking to his donkey. And then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. And we won't go into this, but the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Okay, whenever that happens, it's serious. Okay? So he's standing there with the sword, and Balaam he hit the floor faster than I don't know what. He just fell on his face because he was like, dunce. Written across his forehead. I can't believe I didn't see it. His donkey did it three times and saw it, and God had to use his donkey to speak to him. Okay? You know you are going down the wrong path, or as Gail put it, what'd you say? The wrong lane. When your donkey tells you that you're going down the wrong lane. Okay? I thought, and I like to do this, what does that look like in 2011, a guy sitting on his couch, and the couch starts speaking. I don't know how that works. But the couch is like, get up off me and go do something meaningful with your life. You couch potato. And that would freak me out. I don't think I would ever sit on a couch again. That's just me. But what if God spoke that way right now, where, you know, your car, you know, stop driving me around and get out. Go do something meaningful with your life. I think it would change your life. I think it would do something to you. And it did something to Balaam. Balaam was like, I'm so sorry. And we can see this verse 34. Then Balaam confessed to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. I didn't realize we were standing in the road. It blocked my way. I will return home if you give me another chance. And he's just really sorry because he realized that he went down the wrong path. And he just didn't quite focus on what God said. He just listened because there was a lot of money to do what the Moabite king was saying. And so I thought, this question. What if God worked this way for you? What if God spoke through something and told you to get up and get going and move the way God wants you to move? Two questions within that. Would you need that? Would you be that stubborn that you would need that? Are you in that position? No. Maybe. Yeah. Another question. Why do we leave some of our highest priorities to chance? I have a wheel somewhere and I can't find it. But if I spun this wheel and it said church or small group or hang out with the kids, have a date with my wife, whatever important things I have on that I'd like to do, and I just said, which we say, well, if I have time, I'll do it. And we just go, ding, 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 ding. Oh, I guess tonight's the date with my wife, you know, and you go do it. And you're not planning, you're not figuring anything out, you just leaving it to chance. And that's what we do. We don't spin a wheel, but at the same time, we don't make it a priority to move for God sometimes. We just say, well, if it works out, if I have time, well, maybe I can because I have these other commitments. But the commitments aren't priorities. They're just the first thing you commit it to. And that's what I've been going through my life and trying to figure out, and Lindsay and I have been talking a little bit, and we're going to be talking about more, is to rearrange our life so that our priorities are priorities. Our commitments are to our priorities. That's what's got to change, and that's how we're going to move. So, here's a question I want you to answer. Ready? Shut it out. When do people move best? When do people move best? What do you think? There's multiple ways, not just one answer. Say what? Exactly. In adversities. Right? Which we learned last Sunday. When there's an adversity, people move. Because they are motivated. That's why. When they're motivated, they will move. So what motivates you? An adversity? Maybe if you're passionate for something, you're going to move, right? If somebody comes alongside you, encourages you, and persuades you to move, like, wow, she's doing it, I can do that. And you go and do it. And there's multiple ways. Adversity is probably one of the highest ranked things that motivate people. A death in the family. There's things like that can really motivate people to turn somewhere. We're going to do something really interesting, and then we're going to close and finish. I do not think I'm going to go to 12:15. I will not go to 12:15. Yeah, I really don't care. But this is what I want to do. I want to tell you, give you an example. Okay? Madison. How willing are you to move up here with me? Yeah. I guess I didn't do a good job. Can you come up here? You can come up here. Give her a hand. Give her a hand. All right. I gave her lots of heads up. I'm not throwing her on the spot. Now, Madison is an example I want to share with you. Years ago, and I'm going to do this. Years ago, somebody played a really important part in your life when you were younger. That person was?
Florence.
Florence. Could you come up with me, Florence? I never talked to Florence. Ever see, like, the family reunion, and it's like, ah. Okay? We're just going to do it. And this is not a perfect scenario. I'm just using this as an illustration, okay? So, Florence came along when you were roughly?
Nine.
And Florence, just explain quickly what happened. What was a significant moment with you and Madison?
Well, we were able to have a one-on-one, and she presented the Lord Jesus to her, and she received him.
That's right. So she accepted Christ in her heart because Florence came along in her life and had compassion and love. And Florence knew she was a part of the body, and she realized what her role was at that time, and she came along and did that. Along came probably Mount Tabor when you were same year. And you went to Mount Tabor Bible Camp, which we support. That's our camp. And you went there and really just kind of grabbed and grew and got a hold of it. Good few years later, she went to youth group, and she came out to Super Bowl, which is a huge youth event that we do in Moncton, and the gospel was presented, and you were there, and you just kind of took a moment and said, yeah, you know what, I need to kind of lock back in, and she just said, you know, God, I want you deeper. And so she did that, and then this fall year, Lindsay and Andrea, is she even here? I thought I saw her, but she's not. I saw her car go by. Okay, Lindsay, just come up if you can. I want to show you one of a million scenarios, okay? But, and I can't bring Mount Tabor Bible Camp. I can't do that, okay? But camp's a part of that. I took her to Super Bowl, so I'm here. Lindsay and Andrea helped, and Brittany helped some as well. They had a girls' teen group. They talked about God and how God plays an important role in their life. And you want to say anything?
About that?
Yeah.
We've had just a really great year, Andrea and I. We've got to know these girls really well and, grown to love them. And we've seen a lot of changes in their lives. We've seen them want to put God first. And Madison is actually hoping to be baptized this September. So it's pretty cool.
I'm going to keep you guys here. Our kids aren't there. We're good. Do you see kind of how that works? How that it's not one person? Oh, you can't leave. You see how that works? It goes. Florence played a part. And again, this is faulty in the sense that it's not a full picture. Okay, it gives you just fractions of what kind of can happen. And so you have different people playing different parts in a person's life. And I think it's really, really amazing. Now, you absolutely can.
It didn't really begin with me.
Good to know.
Bird was her Sunday school teacher first.
Marion, you have to come up here. Florence did it.
And when Madison was not in her class, she came into mine. And Marion
very good to know.
Insisted that I
there she is. And I find that very interesting because, you know, there was communication happening, right? And they saw the need to keep that relationship built and pass that on. So even when you think you're done, you can still find out ways to pass on, you know, to ask people, this is bugging me, I'm sorry. Sorry. Anyways, you can hear me. And so that's an example just to give you a sense of it takes more than one. When you say, like, you know, I'm not doing anything significant. I'm not seeing any fruit from it. Well, maybe that's not what God intended. Maybe God intended that you start something and it passed on to somebody else. And I remember being in Bible school and there was a guy, he had the opportunity just to lead people to Christ. He just knew how to just take it over the edge and say, and to make it make sense for that person. And I remember spending, you know, hours with people and talking about it, building relationships, and all of a sudden he'd come along and they would accept Christ. I'm like, that's so cool. You spent 2 minutes with that person. 8 hours, you know, every day, you know. And not to get into it, it's not a big deal, but it's funny because it takes, God planned everybody to be in everybody's life to work so that we can realize what God made from the beginning, everybody can know. I'm going to do something really unique. Like I said, we're going to finish off. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to point out people here. And I'm going to get you to stand. Okay? And you guys are all screaming like, I have to go to the bathroom. I probably should go right now. Okay? And I'm just going to point out a few different people. I'm going to get you to stand because they're standing. And they're up front. So this is a piece of cake if I get you to stand. But Gail, stand up. Gail Taylor. Gail, and you've probably heard this if you've been around enough, Gail said that she helped out in All-Stars and didn't think it was quite for her with the younger kids, but in your words, you love it. Right? Yep. Absolutely. So, Steve, you have to stand up because this is the whole drill. If somebody has something to say and you, this is it. I'm gonna point a few people, and then if you have something that you feel somebody else in this room, not yourself, but somebody else in this room, you felt that they made a positive move, you stand up and you say, so-and-so made a move, and that really made it. It could be within you, or you saw it happen and they didn't know you seen it happen, but I'm going to ask that person to sit down. The person that said it can sit down. But the person they're talking about, I want you to stand up. I just want to get a glimpse for you that people here make a move. Stand up. You are not off the hook because I picked you up. Okay, I'm going to tell you a few more people. Chris Keating, stand up, man. Chris has come a long way. A long way. And it's been so awesome to see him grow. And I left, so I didn't get to be a part of the baptism, but you did get baptized in June. Right? He made a move that I'm going to be baptized. And that is huge, huge. So that's awesome. Chris made a move. And he's still moving. And that, it thrills my heart. Again, I could pick every one of you, probably almost all of you, in point. But I want this opportunity to share. But I'm going to pick a few more people out. Your husband's working, Lillian? There goes that illustration. Okay. Doug has made a move, and he has been doing correspondence, taking Bible school courses and taking them on top of his work, on top of his family, and really trying to grow for him, for his family, and for him for a lot of different reasons. And that's tough. That's a huge, huge commitment. And Doug made a move to do that, and I think that's tremendous, tremendous. Where's Ryan? Is he outside? Oh, I so want it, Ryan. He's outside, is he? Now, I heard Ryan accepted Christ just 2 weeks ago. What would that be, Bev? Lisbon. It's so hard for me to be out of the know. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm so excited, and I haven't talked to too many people. But Ryan has come a long way, and he's accepted Christ. And I know, where's Dennis? Where is everybody? Did they go to the bathroom? God. See, that's bad. I'm going to pick everybody apart, and they're going to be gone. I know Dennis is going to be working alongside with him, and he's going to help him out and talk to him, stuff like that. Dennis has made a move in that area as well. Huge. Andy Matthews, stand up, brother. I am personally really thankful because when I left, Andy was willing to take over and lead the band for the 4 months while I was gone. That's a huge thing. That's a huge thing, and Andy's come a long way. In music, in the band, and with leadership, and so on behalf of me to you, thank you for making a move. And don't sit down. Bob Woolley, you know it was coming. You know it was coming. Stand up, Bob. Bob, again, and I'm saying because these are things that are affecting me that I'm grabbing to. The website, I was doing the website, a lot of the website, and when I left, I couldn't, and I wasn't allowed, nor did I want to run the website anymore, and Bob stepped up in a huge way, and so some of you know for sure, but all the messages, Sunday morning messages, are getting placed on the website, and Bob is looking after that and doing a 100% terrific job, and so from me to you, thank you for doing that, Bob, for making a move. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, thank you, Mary, for sharing that. Doug Campbell, stand up. Doug has come in, and as a church, we have wanted, when we brought him on, that we knew our weakness was in leadership, in discipleship, sorry, to take really a mentoring and a focus to lift up, especially at first, our men to live for Christ. And Doug has put hours upon hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. Not even his job you know, it's not about just doing his job. It's about the passion that he has to see men step up and be what God has called each man to be. And so Doug has made a huge move to make this happen, and big things are happening this fall. And so, Doug, thank you for making that move. But I'm going to get you to share who else is helping you kind of in that area.
Well, primarily Dennis and Roger
Bryan. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Roger, stand up. I wanted you to mention those men. Because Brian. Oh yeah, you just stay standing, Dennis. I already mentioned you. Marilyn Adams, where are you? I saw you a second ago. Marilyn's working. Curtis, you're there. Marilyn made a move to come to Newfoundland and brought Curtis back with her. It's a huge move, and I know that our church family is going to benefit from that. So, Curtis, stand up. We appreciate Curtis and Marilyn a lot, and I know when they left, it was a loss, and so we're glad that you're back. I found out, I was trying to do a little bit of research, and Lindsay and I was talking about this morning. When we came to FBC, this is starting my eighth year now, it was 16 years that Steve and Florence have been serving here at FBC, and it is now your 23rd year, correct? 23rd year, yep. I don't know. but I'm pretty sure the math is right. 23 years, Steve and Florence have been serving and leading, and a huge, huge thank you for that move. Really do. If you have somebody in mind right now, I know it's burning on you. You're just like, oh, let me stand up, Jeff, let me stand up. I want you to stand up, and I want you to point out and say, thank you, so-and-so, because they made a move. Amen. Vicky's not here. Vicky's where? There you are, Vicky.
When we first started here, there were just four grandmothers and two mothers, just Peggy and I. But the grandmothers, Steve's mother and grandmother, and my mother-in-law, and Myrtle's mother, Mrs. Crager, Mrs. Smith, they really took us under their wing. Really helped us, brought us along with
it. Amen. And that's and we can't forget that, right? Because that's where we are today because of that past. Vicky, you need to stand up. And Wanda is not...
in the lobby.
Okay, yep. Tell her to just keep standing. Wow. Absolutely. Absolutely. Share, I know. It's burning on people, I know. Go for it. Oh, thank you. Okay, that's Tracy and Heather. You have to stand up. This is a good process because I think it's really important that people realize that there are a lot of people making moves. It's too easy to say, oh man, we're not doing nothing. But what's hard is for us to actually encourage people. I don't know why that is. But this is a really good thing to have. Oh, man. You got to stand up, whether you like it or not. Yes. I'm not. Where's Kathy? I saw Kathy. There you are, hiding. There you are. Yeah, huge thank you, guys. Huge thank you. Huge thank you.
I think the, not only Art and Laurel, but all the techies, the guys that work the machines, the cameras back there, when they're on,
when
they're
seeing it. Absolutely, absolutely. Now, this is the toughest part of the thing. I personally would love to stay here because I want every single person to stand up because you are doing, and I could go through and like I said, we could make sure that every person is encouraged because you are making a move. And it just bothers me that I'm going to have to stop because it is 12:19 and I told you I wasn't going to go 12:15. Okay? And it's not a big deal to me, but I'd like to come back next week. So, But the point is this. Do not be discouraged. Please do not take it to heart that you are not standing up. Everybody can sit down. Thank you. You guys can have a seat. Unless you want to stay up here, that's fine by me. Yeah, you can go down. Run quickly. There is a lot of you that are doing a lot of things. And time is what's hindering us. And I know some people have said, I can stay here all afternoon. That's great. I have a ball game to win. So that's... just joking. No, I'm just joking. Well, I'm not, but I'm... Whatever. Okay. You guys are making moves. Some of you have made huge moves. Go for it. Move and interrupt me. That's fine.
I have to.
That's fine.
Peggy Adams, she really moved to make regular suggestions to do
workers. Absolutely.
You know, my heart goes out to Peggy and Keith.
Yeah.
Because he's in Norton as well.
Yeah.
But I just think
much appreciated. There are, like I said, there are people that are doing things that we don't know. There are people that we know that are doing a lot of things. And we could do this. We could stay here all day. We may. We just may. Go, Bob. Okay. So Brittany has made a move as well. Give a wave. Holla. There it is. If you don't have a computer or high speed or want to figure out how to get the messages out there, but you want to hear it, go up to the library. And they'll look after you, make sure you can get a CD. And everybody should have a CD player, and if you don't, we will look after you some other way. But I don't think we have any A-tracks. No? Generational joke, ha ha ha. Okay, so, this is the last thing I'm going to say, and it is a sentence. It's true. You can make a move, but by not making a move, you are still making a move. I know that's deep. That's as deep as I get. By not making a move on something, you're still making a move. It just may not be in the right way. So, there are cards in front of you on the back of the chairs. I want you to pull it out. This is not homework. This is called the closing. This is how you're allowed to leave. There are cards there. If you have a pen, you can fill it out. If you don't, you can fill it out later. But this is what I'm challenging myself to do and you to do. Is to take that card, and on it it says, Matt, read it out loud. Okay, read the smaller words. Both of you know I cannot read the word. Okay, go, read it.
My next step that I feel God wants me to take is...
Very good. Now, it's left blank because you are being asked that question. You can fill it out now. You can fill it later. But when you do, I want you to really put some thought and prayer into it and say, what is my next step? Is it, I need to work in my family life. I need to change the way I'm living. I need to be a little more serious about church. I need to watch my opportunities in the community and use them better. I need to get over this. I don't know what it is. I know you know. I know you're going to find out. And I know God knows. And I'm not asking you to tell me where you ultimately want to be. I'm telling you what your next step. A step is not to the top floor. The step is progressing to that next floor, to the next stage in life. What is the next step you need to take? And not like, well, I need to do this, blah, 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 blah. Really think about it. Really answer it, and then this is where it gets fun. Go. Remember how key I said go? If you don't go, you could get hurt. I'm not going to go around with a 2x4. I will not do that. Okay? But we need to be motivated. And so not only write it down and try your best, but tell at least one person. This is where it gets tricky. Tell at least one person that you trust, and if they're here, they can tell you if they want, and you say, listen, I'm going to try to do this. This is going to be my next step, my move. Help me be accountable to that move. If you can do that, I'm not forcing you to. You can rip it up. You can leave it on the floor. We will vacuum it later. You can do whatever you want. But if you realize God has made you, God has designed you, you are part of the body, you need to realize we all have the job to move. And if we do move, things are going to happen. And God is going to start working overtime. And that excites me. So, let's pray, and then we can go. God, we thank you so much, and I thank you for the patience, Lord, of people here. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word, how it tells us what moves we need to make. It tells us what you want from us. We just have to search for it. We have to ask. Lord, help us come to grips of what we can write down to what move we need to make. What that next step, that small step, we need to just step in this direction. Lord, and once we know what that is, Lord, help us to realize how we're going to complete it. How we're going to accomplish that, Lord, and then encourage us to realize who we're going to share that with. Who we're going to share that next step with that they can keep us accountable. Lord, and may we move for you. And may you bless it. May you use it. And may we grow in all kinds of ways because of it. I thank you for this body at FBC, for the love they have, for the gifts they have, for the uniqueness, and Lord, how we're going to be moving. Lord, we just give it all to you in your honor and your glory. Amen.